Are you ready?
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Pop.
Hello, everybody.
People in the back.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome to the Inner Loop.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome to the Inner Loop.
Without further ado.
Okay, so without further ado, we're going to get started.
We should get started. We're
yeah.
We're
going to get started.
Welcome to the Inner Loop Radio. I'm Rachel Koontz.
And I'm Courtney Sexton.
Thank you for joining us and welcome to a new season.
Woohoo! If you haven't already, remember to subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and check out our website at theinnerlooplit.org.
For any new listeners out there, here on the Inner Loop Radio, we delve into all things creative writing, whether that be inspiration or craft, publishing or editing, how to make a living, or just how we all sit down each day in front of an empty page.
We invite friends and local writers onto the show to talk about their writing journey, what inspires them, or to delve deeper into craft.
On today's show, we want to talk about writing retreats. The Inner Loop recently had its largest writing retreat ever, with 30 people in attendance, including staff. And when we took an informal poll, the majority of people had never been on a writing retreat. So I thought this would be a good topic to cover in the podcast. Why retreat to write?
Yeah.
Court?
Why? I mean, I was blown away at the amount of people who said they had never been on a retreat before.
I know.
I'm like, then how did you make the decision to just
practice.
Do this? So I was like, why are you here with us? Not in a mean way.
How did we convince you to come out to the woods?
Yeah.
You've never met us.
Like, you're just going with strange
people.
This
is how every horror movie starts.
Cell phone service is, you know, like questionable. I think it's just that, right? Like, we know that when we're outside of our comfort zone, we're inspired to write more. You know, you think about travel writing. You're not always explicitly travel writing, but you're always writing when you travel is something that I like.
Did you just come up with that?
Yeah, I just came up with that. But like, I was like, oh, but that is the case, right? So you're removed from your normal, comfortable environment. And also, like, you know, we go to places where there's not really anything. Well, there are other things to do. You could walk, but that's also part of the writing process. You're just focused. You're not doing any of the other things you'd normally do in your day-to-day life.
It's so true. As somebody who schedules every minute of
We were just talking about this.
It's such a relief to have nothing to do but write.
Yeah.
Even that by itself is super inspiring. I literally need nothing else. If I could lock myself in my office and no one would ever knock on my door, maybe that would be just as good as a retreat. I don't know.
I mean, the come down from the retreat is hard because then you're like, oh, why isn't this just my life?
I know. That's so true. The amount of writing you can get done when it's your only responsibility and then you come back and you're like,
yeah,
fuck.
Exactly.
That's the only appropriate word for it.
I think it is, like, in a way, though, even that is a nice reminder to, like, open our lives up more to, like, making space in that way. Like, it's kind of like you have to reset and do
it's
that
so
at
true.
A retreat.
It yeah. does, I think jumpstart is a really good word
yeah.
for it. Like, writing can be put on the back burner so easily when you have so much going on. And when you go on a retreat, you're reminded why it's so important to you. And then you can make it
right.
a priority.
You get excited again. It's very easy. I don't know, for me anyway, it's very easy for writing to become the thing that it's like, oh, I have to remember to do that. And I'm like, I don't want to have to.
I know. I want to want to.
Yeah.
I want to be like riding on the train and like up against the wall, like
yes.
walking somewhere.
Don't you remember those days? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when I commuted on the bus a lot, that was my writing time.
Like, trains are great.
Yeah.
Except I got car sick on the train. I got like motion.
Really? I'm sorry. That's rough.
Anyway, let's bring in some guests to talk more on the subject.
Well, yeah, because I was going to say one other thing is that, like, the people who are there with you do also make a difference.
I was thinking that, like, I have been on retreats by myself and their misery.
Yeah.
Because I have to be able
You're
to...
You're just, like, spinning in your own head the whole
yes,
time.
Yes, I have to be able to get out of my head at the end of, like, 8 hours of writing. I have to be able to interact with somebody, like when I was working from home and, yeah. and Skinny would come home, I would just be in his face like,
this is where I walk the dog to meet Sean to pick him up at the metro. And yeah. I'm like, hey,
how's it going? Talk to me. I've been inside my head all day, please.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. So we couldn't be more excited to introduce up next after the break, the specialist of special guests. Coming up, we'll hear from Interloop staff on their experience at the latest retreat.
Support for today's show comes from the podcast Writing Excuses. Looking for a fast-paced educational podcast for writers by writers? Tune into Writing Excuses wherever you listen. More information can be found at www.writingexcuses.com.
Welcome back to the Interloop Radio. We've been discussing writing retreats, and now we'd like to welcome two very special guests, our very own Interloop staff, Programs Coordinator Abby Newhouse and Digital Outreach Coordinator Arielle Marillette. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm. I just realized I've never said it out loud.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
But Abby and Arielle are not just Interloopers. They are also, of course, writers. Welcome, Abby and Arielle.
Hi.
Hello.
It's so nice to have you guys on the show.
We're happy to be here on Rachel's couch, really close together.
Yes,
by this microphone.
You mean okay. In our professional studio?
Yeah, in the professional studio. It's called Rachel's house.
That's just right.
It's like named after.
Yes. It's a clever
Rachel
name.
Rachel Carson.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
It's good. All right. So the two of you were on this retreat that Courtney and I were discussing previously. Where we had the most members ever. But first I have to ask you, because I don't remember, was that your first retreat, Arielle?
Yes, it was my first just retreat. I've done workshops before, but never
a writing retreat. Abby?
First retreat.
Wow.
Were you afraid that of anything? No, because you're on our staff. So maybe you weren't afraid it was the start of a horror movie?
No, I felt like actually being on the staff was a really good buy-in because we would already have friends and like people to hang out with.
Yeah,
there was we had places to be and things to do, and so I felt like there was some good structure there.
Nice.
Whereas maybe if I was on my own, I would flounder.
So since it was your first retreat ever, was it what you expected?
I think it was what I expected. A lot of time to write, which was, and a lot of community, which was really fun to have.
Yeah, just like a bunch of writers hanging out together, but in our own worlds at the same time.
Yeah, I think the cabin and the fireplace really like set it.
We got set the stage.
Set the stage. Yeah,
the snow in the background. Like, yeah, it was a good time.
We did get lucky with that lovely snow.
It was beautiful. Mm-hmm.
So you named a lot of different elements of the retreat. There was community. There was time to write. There was a fireplace. There was snow. What did you find like most valuable about the retreat? Was there any like unexpected moment where you thought to yourself, "Wow, like, this is really special"?
I think during your workshop, Rachel, on memory, which oh my gosh. Thought was a really beautiful moment. I know. I felt like that, like just sitting together with people and writing, like helped me really come up with like new ideas that I wasn't expecting to do when I came to the retreat. I was expecting to just work on things mm-hmm. that I was already working on, mm-hmm. but I had a lot of like new generative ideas, which was really great.
I agree. I find that happens when I retreat also. And I think part of it is some of the things you guys were mentioning, the scenery and the people alter what's going on in your head and alter like the vision you had. Abby, you were holed up like quite a bit.
You were really working hard. Yeah. You had an agenda and everything.
Yeah.
Right?
I did. I had a plan. But that's because I was also, it worked out well because I was taking January off as a writing hiatus. And so I had this whole plan for what I was going to do with that time. And so just being able to be fully away was really helpful. And it just like felt very peaceful there with the backdrop, but then also just with everybody focusing on the same thing. Like I tend to like, if me and Arielle are working at the line or something, I tend to get really chatty and like, you know, I'll like distract myself and whatever. And her, sorry.
It's okay.
But there, when everybody has like the same goal and it's like quiet hours from 10 to whenever, you know, it's like, no, this is it. You just have to buckle down and get going.
It's see what, so see what true. Come up with. That can't be underestimated yeah. when you're around other people. I mean, I find other people who work hard inspiring anyway. Anybody who,
totally.
You know, is not just a hard worker, but like talented, or you can just tell they put everything in what they do. And it's like a giant room full of people
all
who are
doing that,
yeah. which is yeah. like a really,
yeah,
like intense and experience that really motivates you to focus.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Like changes our chemistry. Everybody working together, but working separately at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I what did you guys think about the like the structure? Abby, you just touched on it a little bit, but you know, some people were unsure of what that was going to be like. What did you think in terms of having your days laid out for you, but not really?
I think it was a good balance between like structure time, where we had like the meal time and the socializing, and then we had just long stretches of hours to write or do whatever you wanted, which I think if it was too structured, I wouldn't have liked it as much.
Mm-hmm. Ariel, tell us what you were working on.
Well, I came in working on a short story collection, and then I had a story I was working on that I'd been working on for a couple of years. But while I was there, I came up with a like totally new story idea, which was
nice,
really amazing. Yeah. Nice. So I wrote almost all of it, and then I outlined all of it, definitely, by the time it was over.
That's amazing.
And where are we now? What's the status?
Well, I haven't touched it.
Follow up time. Great.
So okay. Maybe I need okay. to go on another retreat.
Next retreat.
Let's do it again.
Love it. Abby, how about you?
It was really, really good for me. Yeah, I don't know. Just having the whole of January. I came out with a lot done.
Tell us what, don't be coy. Tell us what you're working on.
What were you working on?
Oh, I'm working on a collection of essays.
Why do you say it like that? It's no good.
Sometimes it still feels fake. I'm pretending. No.
I saw your spreadsheet. It looked pretty real. That spreadsheet was real.
I got a lot done. I was actually very proud of myself for 1 month. But yeah, the work still, I still got work to do.
So how many essays are in the bag?
Oh gosh, maybe 10.
Ooh, that's impressive. That's a high number.
Yeah.
10 yeah. essays in the bag. So how many are left to
for the book? Yeah.
There's 4 more that I need to keep working on, and then maybe 3 that I would like to actually create. Still okay. conceptualizing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a solid number.
That's a big-ass
yeah.
collection.
Yeah. It's really big. Essays. It's maybe too big.
No, never.
You have a lot to settle say. Down. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a whole life's worth. So, you know.
So you both came away with some solid work from the retreat. Did you come away feeling connected to anybody that you met there?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely felt like I met a lot of new writer friends who I've already met up with and mm-hmm. been writing with.
You've met up with them outside.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, and yeah.
We had a little work day.
It was great, yeah. To like, I feel like it's hard to meet other writers unless you're like at something specific like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, mm-hmm. I came out with a lot of friends.
We got some invites to some things going on in Baltimore, too. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, some there's stuff like in the future, too, mm-hmm. that we're working on.
Broadening nice. Reach into yeah. Baltimore. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the relationships I developed yeah. were very special. We had people from the retreat come and read with us at our event in January mm-hmm. and February. And it was like big hugs, like, oh yeah. my God, it's so good to see you. And we wish we could just live in a writer commune.
We could. I've been trying to sell this for a while.
Finally, you're on board.
I found the property. I told you.
That's the next Inner Loop project.
It is.
Everybody keep
So, hey, anyone listening out there, if you have like $1 million that you just want to give us for our retreat house.
Because people are always just
love to name it after you.
Looking for something to drop $1 million. On
obviously
on a win.
Obviously
yeah that's big you get no your name. Name on it huge
I see right yeah people love their name on shit yeah it's a thing no I did this one was really cool there were a lot of really amazing I mean everyone was great but you know usually or historically they've been so small that like you do form really great bonds but with only like 1 or 2 people mm-hmm. And so yeah this is a whole
yeah it felt like every single person I met
yeah
like, was felt
agreed. And maybe it was the newness of it all for it's them. The they're not jaded.
Yeah. I do think like lots of retreaters like became friends and like outside mm-hmm. of it as well, like not just with us. Yeah. You can see a lot of connections forming. So no, that was really cool.
I feel like there's something that happens when like in a tight space and sleeping with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, sleeping in the same quarters with each other.
Did you guys share a disclaimer. Bed?
I am wondering if there was any
hookup?
Joint sleeping going on.
That's a thing. I
think. It wasn't long enough for that kind of thing to develop. I mean, okay. Maybe I wasn't plugged in. No. I don't know.
No. This is total speculation.
All we can do is speculate. Yeah. We know nothing.
Anyway.
All right. Well, this has been an awesome discussion. Thank you, Abby and Ariel, for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
And I thought it was particularly apropos to invite Abby and Ariel on our first episode back because they will be hosting some of our interviews this season.
Ta-da!
I have surprise questions, so don't freeze up. That's a lot of power. You're going to be holding the reins. Is there anything that you would hope to pry out of a guest when you take the lead? Like, what in your mind would make an episode feel successful? And I'll give you an example while you're thinking. Every Father's Day.
I'll give you an example of what you are thinking.
No. Every Father's Day, I only feel like it's a success if I bring Skinny to tears.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's my goal every Father's Day.
Brutal.
Ariel just choked. She's like, what? That's so mean. And he thinks so too. He's like, why are you always trying to make me cry?
Is it a success if they're sad tears or just happy tears?
I mean, I've never seen him cry sad tears.
Oh, never?
Yeah. No. And I've only seen him cry happy tears once. I only got him to cry on Father's Day one time.
Oh, so you.
Very
to are you like mad about that?
No.
No, I mean that like it doesn't happen every year.
Oh, it's just my goal. It's not successful unless he's cried. So I'm curious,
but just
what would
happy
make
tears.
An interview successful?
Hmm. Oh boy,
that you were.
I think if somebody is laughing a lot, I think like so they feel comfortable enough to like giggle and joke around with you.
We can be goofy.
That's a good measure.
Oh. And then also just reaching some kernel of truth. Like, ooh. just
see that. Out. They're ready. It's going to be so good.
It's a good combination.
We'll get perfect.
And some laughing. I mean, that's basically what the Interloop
Radio. Have you guys been listening to the Interloop Radio?
Just a little. So, were you going to say that?
See, everyone, get ready for this.
Yep,
you thought we
making.
Were dorks.
We're just going to like talk in unison making. The whole time.
All right. Well, Abby, Ariel, we can't let you go just yet. Obviously, we have to subject you to a writing game.
Oh, boy.
I can't wait.
That's usually my reaction also.
Yay.
But this is apropos, that word coming up again, sorry, because up next, we're going to revisit one of our favorite writing retreat games that we play on every retreat, The Exquisite Corpse. So stay tuned.
Support for today's show comes from the podcast Writing Excuses. Writing Excuses also hosts three retreats a year. In 2024, they're going to Scotland, Minnesota, and the Mexican Riviera. Head over to their website, www.writingexcuses.com, to learn more and sign up. These retreats are a great opportunity to join fellow writers in seminars, workshops, and breakout sessions designed to help you hone your craft. Each retreat offers opportunities to network, game, and be in community with fellow writers.
Welcome back to the Inner Loop Radio.
We turn now to one of our favorite games of all time that we play on every retreat we host. It's called Exquisite Corpse. Who wants to explain it?
Oh, I've heard it called other things too. Weren't they talking about that at our last retreat? I was like, no. It's just called Exquisite
Corpse. I've tried
Corpse.
Looking up the history of the Exquisite Corpse, but it's vague.
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 Vague. Vague. Anyway, for those of you who don't know what it is, Abby or Ariel, would you like to explain it for us?
Well,
you take it away, Abby.
We kind of decide on like a little genre to get it going, and then somebody writes one line, folds the paper, and passes it around the circle. Everybody does the same thing. Writes the next line, folds their paper. So you can see the line before it, so you have a little bit of context, but you don't know what the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. So we came up with a couple of people to volunteer to come up with funny genres
So let's first let the listeners know, what were the genres?
My genre was centaur romanticy, combination of romance and fantasy.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Mine was Jewish mythical text.
Not to be confused. Not to be confused with doctrine, which I said and was laughed out of the room.
Although the two stories did get somewhat confused as they were going around.
Cross-pollinate?
Yes, they may have.
Okay, so for context, listeners, we just had our personal writing group, and we asked those in our writing group, there are about seven of us here, to participate in this little game so we could read it to you. So which one are we going to read first? Which genre?
I think we can go first with me. Yeah.
Okay.
Jewish mythical text. It's called The Golden Path. Buckle up. According to Rav Papa, a righteous person may use the toilet as often as possible on a long journey. But Rav Papa did not specify any other elements of the activity other than frequency. How many times should you flush? What other rituals should be involved? Mm. He referred to the fragments of documents he stored
under the bed. Yeah, this is Jen's handwriting, everyone.
He stored up in a cereal box under the bed, each one a shard of truth of God. It said, never eat alone, go to sleep angry, and eat a pickle before bed. Harry hated the rules. Pickles were his least favorite food, so every night he suffered. He started to throw the pickles behind his back instead of eating them. And that is when he realized that the magic was inside the pickles all along.
All along.
For as every wise teacher knows, a pickle, like an empty bladder, nurtures the spirit and leads them. Really quite wise.
If you think about it.
Silly.
I think we should maybe clarify for listeners also that our friend who came up with the genre and title is in fact Jewish.
Yes.
We are not being culturally insensitive.
Yes.
I mean, we are.
Intentionally.
But we're trying hard not to.
He started it.
He did. Yeah.
Okay.
You can do it.
Okay. I'm going to read the Centaur Romanticy. The title is Hotter Than Fresh Oats.
Oats. That's oats, everyone.
Oats is in the food.
Yeah.
The warm morning sun rose over the field, and Rosie hoofed at the earth, feeling like it would be an auspicious day. In the distance, she saw him, the one she felt strongly she'd someday be with. He wasn't a centaur, but a fairy, and she was worried what the centaur community would think of her blossoming romance. So she thought she'd cast a spell, but it went wrong, and he became a centaur fairy. Hyphenated.
Hyphenated like his soul. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
His chestnut flanks rippled in the sunlight, but she couldn't tear her eyes away. In the distance, the falconers climbed the ridge, the calls of their companions
cutting.
Through the air as she stared at him. Thank you. Her bosom.
Bosom.
I thought it said blossom.
Her blossoming bosom, if you will.
Her bosom and flanks were bedewed.
You don't remember the bedewed?
Come on, Ariel. Did you know?
Okay, I'm gonna say that sentence
start
again.
That line over.
Her bosom and flanks were bedewed with sweat. And he knew they only had moments before they were found. I don't care what the community thinks, said Rosie. Let's give in to our equine desires.
Hot.
Who wants to read that one? Because it's going to be the next bestseller.
I would read it.
We claim copyright. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I feel like our listeners might be thinking, what the hell was the point of that? Does anybody want to enlighten them?
About the romantic fantasy specifically, or
Bernie's like, I could go all day on romantic fantasy.
What did you say? I think it's for love.
Yeah, they're in love.
They're in love.
They defied species.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Long story short, Exquisite Corpse is a silly, silly game, but it makes everybody laugh.
It's very fun. The you know,
the best thing about it is the person who started it gets to read it all and finish it in most cases. And mm-hmm. so you usually get a little, at least a little bit of a tie
wrap it up.
At
wrap
the
it
end.
Up. Yeah. And they get to put the title on. Which is... Well, that's our show. We'll be back next Monday with an inspiration takeover where a local writer takes over the podcast to give us an intimate look at their writing process.
If you want to learn more about The Inner Loop and all our programming, visit us at theinnerlooplit.org, where you can also donate to support us in local literature and our romantic fantasies. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at The Inner Loop Lit.
Today's episode was produced by me, Rachel Kuntz. Our theme music is by Andrew Logan, and our technical advisor is James Skinner. Thanks again to Abby Newhouse and Ariel Marilat for joining us on the show. If you enjoyed today's episode, start an exquisite corpse at your next get-together.
Or better yet, leave us a review.
Such as, The Inner Loop Radio will send your brain in circles until the swirling settles into something shaky but tangible, like jello or a pickle.
You were stretching for that one. Don't forget to subscribe.
Subscribe.
Subscribe so you can get inspired, get focused, and get lit
on The Inner Loop Radio.